in this transition and where we're at right now, and we've been talking about third dimensional warriors and how God is raising this end time army. And if you haven't gotten any of the tapes, there's some tapes about third dimensional warriors, and we're not done. And one of the things that we've been talking to about is even about the heart, and I was just led to go back into this today so that not only can we get it on tape for people to learn from it, but also to get more of a deeper understanding with some scriptures behind this. And one of the things that we don't want to do, because we are, how many of y'all know we're in a war? Amen. And in a war, there's a military commander who is Jesus, and then he has commanders and so forth, and you know, just like the ranks of a war. And in this war that we're in, one of the things that's so important of always staying in your rank, you know, in your position, and we've got teachings about being, you know, divine positioning, but in this position where God has placed us, because there is another level where in the spirit realm where God puts us. Does everybody understand that? And in fact, God will test your heart. Amen. Now the enemy will challenge it, but God will allow this testing to come to see really where you're at, and to see what you've exchanged your heart with or what you've opened your heart to. Now we know that the heart is the character of your spirit, isn't it? And one of the things that we would constantly walk in is in the character of Christ. In fact, if you think about it, you remember Abraham. Abraham was tested by God when he was told to take, who was he told to take? Isaac, right? Amen. And it was the one that he loved. He was the promised seed of God, wasn't he? He was told to take Isaac to the altar and kill him. Amen? You know, I mean, we're not accustomed to those things, you know. and Abraham was being tested by God, because God was fulfilling the promises of Abraham. And he obeyed God, didn't he? And he tied up his son, Isaac, who was the promised seed, and he knew it was the promised seed. You know, he didn't try to figure it all out, did he? And I'm sure carnally he was trying to go, man, you know, wait a minute. You promised me the son that would be your seed. This was the son that was going to be the promised seed, wasn't it? See, it was a promise from God. And God doesn't take back his promises, does he? Amen. So here, Abraham ties up his son, gets the wood. I mean, even his son said, hey, where's the sacrifice? Well, son, it's you today. But Abraham said, the Lord will provide. Amen. The Lord will provide. See, God was testing Abraham's heart. Even though he loved his son, Abraham loved his son. Are you hearing? He never lost his heart from the Lord. He was willing to sacrifice his son because he never took back his heart from God. See, and this is what we're talking about, where people are exposing their hearts and giving their hearts to individuals and to things and to material. They're actually turning their heart away from God, aren't they? See, Abraham did not turn his heart away from God. He was willing. In fact, he pulled out the knife and was ready to kill his son before he lit the fire. And an angel showed up and said, man, you've been found faithful. Don't do that. Right? Don't do that. Don't kill your son. And he took his son. And then God began to pour out blessings. Why? Because when you know you please God, that's the blessing, isn't it? See, so his obedience pleased the Lord, but he knew he pleased God, because even the angel said to him, you know, you found favor. You found favor. So see, there's going to be things that are going to come in your life where God is going to test you. Are you hearing me? He's going to test your heart and where your heart is really focused. And the Bible, why don't you go with me to Luke 10. Is everybody all right? Y'all get, you know, everybody? Praise God. Hallelujah. And I know that we've been talking a little bit about this, and like I said, the Lord just impressed in me about really laying this down so that we can really grasp this and not only carry it, because this is what we're going to need to make it through. We're going to need these revelations and these fresh nuggets and fresh manna from the Lord to make it through. Are you hearing me? In Luke 10, in verse 17, if you'll go there for a moment. Oh, hallelujah. How many of y'all know that Lucifer was in the army of God? Amen. He was in the army of God, and he was a high-ranking individual. In fact, he was the highest. He was a praise and worship leader of the universe. You mean he was above Archangel Michael? Yes. Lucifer was God's right-hand man. He was the praise and worshiper of the universe. God breathed through him. Do you understand this? He was in God's army. And here's something that Jesus said was very powerful. And in verse 17, are you there? Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What happened to Satan? He got moved out of rank, didn't he? Do you all understand this? See, there's a place spiritually where God is. The Bible says that you and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing, right? And seated where? In heavenly places. Well, because we're seated in heavenly places, there's a realm where God puts you in so that you can learn that and grow. In other words, there's a realm where we learn in it. I can only share with you that it's almost like we begin to learn naturally almost. And you know, where the mind is beginning to be renewed. And then there's another realm where the mind is now submitting to the mind of Christ. And now you're learning things from spirit to spirit instead of the mind. Do you understand this? Where it's spirit to spirit. Now there's a place where God has placed you, where you know that you are seated in heavenly places. And there's a realm where now there's a communion with you and the Father. And you know the teacher. And you understand the things of the throne room. And there's a place where you begin to, where this communion is beginning to show you and teach you. Remember Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he said, what? Come and learn from me, right? He even was offering the woman, the Samaritan woman, he said, come on, drink of this. And what was he giving her? He was offering her something spiritually, not something physically. Does everybody understand that? So in this realm where God has placed us spiritually is a place where we're learning things, because we're to learn the deeper things of God now. Amen. There's a place where we get milk, and there's a place where we get meat. Amen. And when we begin to eat more and more meat, we begin to change more. It doesn't have anything to do with you except for your cooperation, because you can't change you anyways. Amen. I don't care how many locations you have, how many relationships, I don't care where you go, you can't change yourself. Only God can change you. But what he does is he draws you and he puts you into a place where there is now a desire. See, you can't change unless you have a desire. Amen? I don't care if you go to a miracle healing services every day. If you don't want to change, ain't nothing going to happen to you. You can see miracles happening on both sides of your seat. You can see people getting slain in the spirit, filled, delivered, praying in tongues and all kinds of stuff. And nothing's going to happen to you because you don't have the desire. Y'all don't get this. Amen. So we are seated in heavenly places, and in this heavenly place is a dimensional place where God has placed you as one of his warriors. Amen. Now Lucifer was removed from that place, wasn't he? The Bible says that Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. Amen. And we know that he was cast to the earth. And in this arena where he talks about the earth, he meant the earth's atmosphere in this dimension. Is everybody all right? Y'all getting this? Okay, good. We're going to go somewhere here. Now, why did Lucifer fall? He turned his heart away from God, didn't he? Does everybody get this? See, we're going to talk about falling out of the ranks. Amen? You do not want to fall out of the rank of the army of God. And the reason why we fall out is because we are giving away our heart. Does everybody understand that? We're giving away our heart. Now, go to Romans 12. You know, when this was poured in me, it was so overwhelming to me. Did you ever pour water into a vase that's got a bunch of holes in it? I mean, you're trying to hold all the holes. So wait a minute, I'm trying to grasp. I mean, it was just overwhelming to me. And in this period of time where we're at, you know, God is raising up a generation and of an army generation, one that's going to really begin to take territories, one that's going to really begin to not only be on fire for God, but be willing to do whatever it takes, no matter what. Oh, hallelujah. In Romans 12, would you read it with me in verse 1 and 2? Is everybody there? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your responsibility or your reasonable service. In other words, every day we are to take this heart. Every day you're to take the heart, your mind, your will, your desires, your emotions, and offer it to God, your spirit, soul, and body. Does everybody understand? You are to empty yourself. Give it to God every day. Every morning. That is a part of your duty. And he says, and do not be conformed to this world. How would you be conformed to the world again? By giving your heart to the world again. Do you understand it? By opening your heart to something of the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to be transformed by renewing your mind and surrendering your spirit, soul, and body, and your heart, and so forth. Why? Every day I make an exchange. Lord, let the mind, will, heart, and desires of Christ be manifested in me. Every day I have to surrender who the devil always tries to say I am, so that I can go about what God says I am. There's a difference, isn't there? In Proverbs 23, would you turn there? Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 23. Praise you, Lord. When you begin to reflect of all the things that you've given your heart or opened your heart to, those are also open doors. Open doors of what? Demonic activity. Because there's an area where we become soul-tied, idol-tied. Hello? We become tied and entangled, and the Bible says a soldier should not be entangled in the affairs of the world. And one of the things that God wants to do is bring us revelation and discernment, so that we are more sensitive to these areas, so that when they happen, we begin to cut them quickly. Did you ever touch something you knew it was unclean and go, whoa? Amen? I remember I went in a store one time and I picked up this thing. It hit a neat pitcher. And all of a sudden, I was almost sick and I dropped it. And the Lord said, that's an accursed item. It was a New Age thing. Man, I didn't want to pick it up and put it back on the counter, you know. I should have taken it in my foot, you know. But I just, and I washed myself with the blood. But it almost gagged me because it was so cursed, but I didn't know that. And God wants us to make us so sensitive to these areas that when you touch something or come in an agreement or you turn your heart to it, that you are sensitive to it. See, we have been learning the area of coming in agreement with the thoughts. Amen? But see, in this, we don't realize the effects that when we turn our heart to something, we open our heart. And it takes place and precedence in our heart. And sometimes we don't even realize it, and then we struggle later. Now, your soul is made of your emotions, your mind, and your will. Amen? And every time you make a choice, it's a door to your heart. And when you make the wrong choice, you're either opening, every time you make a choice, you open your heart, your spirit, to whatever it is. Does everybody understand that? So when the enemy or somebody comes along or whatever, and you say yes to it, what you are doing is you're opening the door to your spirit. So you're either strengthening your spirit or contaminating your spirit on every choice that you make. And you know, there's only one perfect choice, isn't there? Because there's only one perfect will. Hello? Okay. In Proverbs 23, in verse 6, it says, "Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his what? Heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." Wow. "The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words." So we see here that as a man thinks in his heart, in other words, what his heart is expressing, he has opened his heart. He said, don't eat with a miser. Why? Because you've come in agreement with that person, that miser. You've opened your heart to him. Do you understand that? Well, the word eat means that you've come in agreement with. Yes, I've eaten it. I've come in agreement. That's why the Bible says that we are to eat on the faithfulness of the Lord. Amen. Is everybody okay? Anyone lift your hands to heaven, will you? Praise God. Get a drink. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, that's why the Bible even says a merry heart is what? Good medicine, isn't it? Amen. A merry heart is good medicine. Oh, praise God. So, where your heart is focusing is whether you're coming in agreement with it or you're giving your heart or you're allowing something to come in. Amen? Proverbs 27, while we're over here. In verse 19. "As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man." Wow. In other words, the heart reveals the spirit, isn't it? In other words, what you've opened yourself to is going to be expressed. Where your spirit is going to be expressed through your heart, isn't it? You know, go to Revelation 1. And this is where we've got to understand what our call is. In Revelation chapter 1. In verse 5. And it says, from what? "From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." So you and I have been called to be priests and kings, haven't we? Amen? And in this, we're going to be talking more about a king's anointing later, but what we want to be able to do is, if we've been called to be kings and priests, then we need to start walking like a king. A king is a representation of a third dimensional warrior. Amen? A king is a warrior. And of course, we have that list about what a third dimensional warrior is. And in this area, by being placed in a position spiritually, we are continuing learning the deeper things of God to continue to fulfill our kingship. Has everybody got this? You know, if you look at Jesus as the king, right? Because he was the king. It said that he grew, didn't he? He learned in stature and so forth. He grew in favor of God. And why? Because God had placed him in the place to learn, didn't he? Amen? And as he was obedient and learning, then we see that when he was baptized in the Jordan and the heavens were opened, and the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Right? So he was walking in his kingship. But he was a king that was on earth. He laid down his robe as king, but he was still king. Does everybody get it? That's just like when David danced before the ark. He was king, right? But he still gave honor to God. In other words, he laid down his robe, danced in his underwear, didn't give a hoot. Amen? He became undignified that day. But that was undignified to the world, but honored by God. Hallelujah. So, there is a place, spiritually positioned, where we're constantly being trained to fulfill our kingship, or I guess I could say queenship, you know. But we utilize the word king as a position. It has nothing to do with gender. Does everybody understand that? We're not going to leave the women out, right? Because they're made in God's image and likeness also. So we are still fulfilling kingship. All right, let's go to Revelation somewhere. Revelation 21. And Revelation 21. Would you read it with me, please? In verse 1. It says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." For her who? For her who? Ah. For her who? Husband. Wow. Do you know that God is preparing us for him? We're the bride, right? So if there's a place that he's preparing us, right now, to go into this arena in the spirit realm. He's preparing us to get into this place, isn't he? Has everybody got it? And this is the area where we cannot lose sight of, is that he is preparing us to cause us. In some areas in our life, he's even causing us, isn't he? You know, you've got to have a desire to say, "Lord, cause me to do this. Cause me." Because so many times we become weary, we become weak, we become carnal. We get caught up in the world. Does everybody understand that? And we want to come out of it, and there's a time when you're not only crying to God, but you're saying, "Lord, cause me to do this. No matter what it takes, cause me to do this." Amen? Praise God. And that's where that desire is so important. One of the things we don't want to be is moved out of that spiritual realm where we become carnal. We don't want to lose our position spiritually. We want to maintain being kings over our territories and princes. Princesses. Okay? Has everybody got it? Good. Go to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." So, your heart has got to be in the hands of the Lord. Do you understand that? If your heart is truly in the area and you're really desiring to fulfill your position in kingship, your heart will be in the hand of the Lord and he's going to direct you. It's when we begin to move our heart out of the hand of the Lord. It's when we begin to direct our heart into certain areas and begin to focus in other areas, which begins to cause us to go in other areas and falter away and sometimes get removed right out of that spiritual position. You know, there's many people that you talk to when they backslide or whatever, and they say, "Man, I can't wait to get to where I was." No, you can't. You can't get to where you were. You've got to get beyond that. Why? Because where you were wasn't sustaining you. So you must get beyond that area. Amen. You must go beyond that. And this is where the king's heart. Now, who's the king? Christ. Amen. The king's heart. He directs your life, won't he? Everyone say the king's heart will be directed by the hand of God. Our heart is the king's heart. I'm a king of all territories that God has ordained for me. In Jesus' name. Glory. Once you begin to share your heart and not the king's heart, you begin to fall out of rank. Does everybody understand that? In other words, when you and I come to the Lord, we give our heart to the Lord, don't we? Amen. And now what we do, we've taken the heart of Christ, which is the king's heart. Now we take the king's heart and put it into the hand of the Lord, don't we? And he directs our path. When we begin, now listen, when we begin to share our heart with things that are not of God, things that are not of his will, when we begin to share our heart, it causes us to move out of that spiritual position. It causes us to fall out of that rank, doesn't it? And so many times, and that's one, you know, the Bible tells us that. Now, if you listen to this, it says pride goes before a fall, right? Well, in this area, where is pride established? It's associated with a spirit. Pride is a spirit. So what's happened is a person has come in agreement with, opened its heart to that spirit, and now pride is now beginning to reject the will of God, isn't it? That person is already falling out of that spiritual position. Does everybody understand that? Okay, good. Praise God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1, would you start it with me, please? But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Hello. Rather than, what did it say? Lovers of God. Where have they turned their heart to? Things of the world. Amen? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into ministries and so forth, and make captives of gullible people, loaded down with sins, led by away by various lusts. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they're constantly learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth and get set free. And why is that? Because they've sold or taken apart or shared their heart with something they shouldn't have. Does everybody get this? So they can never get set free, but they're always learning, but it never takes precedence. It never takes place. And it doesn't allow that individual to really be set free from what's been binding them. Because they're always turning their heart. Did you ever, I'm going to use this example, especially married couples. People get married. Man, and sometimes you be counseling with married people and they wonder 2 years later why they got married. Well, first of all, they gave their hearts to one another instead of the heart of Christ. When their heart should have been stayed with the Lord, where people fornicate before they get, okay, yeah, we're getting married next year. We're getting married in 4 months, so let's fornicate now. You know what they did? They gave their heart to one another. Instead of giving their heart to the Lord, and then they backslide. Do you know, did anybody ever hear of codependent? You know why? Because those people have given their heart to each other and not to the Lord. Oh yeah, I love the Lord. No, you haven't given your whole heart to the Lord then. See, you've got to give your heart to the Lord, and the only heart that you're to share is the heart of Christ. You're not to share your heart with anybody. Amen? Your heart is to be shared totally and given to the Lord. Now that the Lord's heart, the heart of Christ is in you, that's the one you share. That's the one you share. That's the one that's joyful. That's the one you want to share. That's the one. See, the problem is too many people are opening their hearts. Listen, when I was a drug addict, I opened my heart up to every kind of dope there was. Of course, the fruit was stupid, right? We all got, that's why they call it dope. So what we did is we opened our heart. Think about all the things that we've opened our heart up into the with the world. We came in agreement with it. We opened our hearts to these things. Somebody said something, you went, oh, yeah. And then you contaminated your spirit, right? But we open our, and let me tell you, God is breaking hearts. He's opening them. So that we can pour these things out. And so that the fullness and the heart of Christ can be manifested in us. Amen? Everybody got it? Always learning. Listen, there's an area also that in this spiritual position where we're not only learning, but we're grabbing truth and it's setting us free, where God is saying, okay, it's time to step up or step out. And many people are willing to step out instead of step up. Let me share something with you. This is very important. God is always asking more of you. I never met my dad that never said, okay, I don't want any more from you. I always hear, I need more from you. But Lord, I'm this, you know, die. You know, even Jesus struggled with that. Remember when he was in the garden? He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by. The Lord said, he said, okay, not my will, but your will. Right? Why? Because he wanted more from him. God is always asking more from you. Now, he won't give you any more than you can handle, but he's always asking more. And the ones that are not stepping up are always stepping out. Do y'all get this? That's why people backslide and fall. You know why? Because they're not willing to surrender their whole heart to the Lord and willing to do it. They can say it all day. Oh, yeah, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. The Lord says, okay, I need more. I'll see you. Ain't him but a liar. And the problem is because they've never closed all the doors that have accessed their heart in their life. Because they've never really cleaned up that heart. Look at all the men and women of God in the Old Testament and things that had happened. When you begin to see what happened. Look at Samson. I'm just going to share a few things with you. Samson and Delilah. Does everybody know the story? Would you like to hear it? I'll tell you in a minute. First, go to James 4. James chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Verse 4. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is what? Enmity who? Towards God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow. So if you're opening your heart up to the things of the world, you become God's enemy. God's not your enemy. Why? Because you're a danger to his kingdom. Does everybody get that? You're a danger to his kingdom. So when we become a friend of the world, we become an enemy of God. Does everybody get that? Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to Judges 16. We'll see Brother Samson. Judges 16. In verse 29, please. Now, let's go to 13. Now, Samson was called by God to deliver Israel. Amen?
In verse 13. Now Delilah said to Samson, she said, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my head into the web of a loom. So she wove it tightly with a band of a loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon us. And he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the band and the web from the loom. And she said to him, how can you say you love me? Now listen, every time she tried to test Samson, because they offered her money, right? And because they offered her money, she wanted to cause Samson to fall. But Samson had covenant with God. And the Lord said, the strength of the Lord will be upon you all of your days, except for if the day you shave your head, you'll lose your strength. No, that's not why I have a ponytail. But anyways, so Delilah was being paid by the Philistines to get the secret of it. So she had tried to get Samson, and one day he said, well, he'd lie to her. He'd say, well, you bind all the stuff around me in these ropes, and she'd call the Philistines in, and he'd pop out of them and kick their butt. And it happened three times, so she kept saying, man, why are you lying to me? And you say you love me. Sound familiar? You remember when you're a liar out there and you tell your partner, yeah, man, I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. I love you. Yeah, right. It's because your heart was open somewhere else, wasn't it? You couldn't stop what you were doing until God delivered you or until you repented so God had an opportunity to deliver you. Hallelujah. And she said to him, how can you say you love me when your heart, when you're what? Would you read 15 with me? This is powerful. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? But it was with her, wasn't it? She was using this to manipulate him. You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. That he told her what? He told her what? All her heart. All his heart, right? He told her everything that was in his heart. He sold out his total heart to her. And said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. How did that happen? He gave his heart away. Do y'all see that? He gave his heart away. Amen? Now, go to verse 20. And so she said that the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But she allowed him to shave his head. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. And they bound him with the bronze of fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. Does everybody see that? He became a what? Grinder in the prison. The first thing that happened is what? He became blind, didn't he? So, did he get moved out of his spiritual position? Oh, yes, he did. Samson gave his heart. You know who else gave his heart? King David. Do you remember when King David gave his heart to Bathsheba? You know what happened there? Not only did they no longer get rest. Hello? He said, your sword would never rest. There was no peace there anymore. But the first child died, and a curse came down the family line where all of his sons fell into fornication, didn't they? Does everybody understand that? So, this is so important that we begin to understand about where we're sharing this heart with. You can no longer share your heart. You share the heart of Christ. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to a couple other places. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is everybody there? In verse 6, let's see. Let's go to verse 8. And the Lord was telling Saul about becoming a king. He says, "You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you and offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do." And it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him a what? Another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. So what had happened was Saul, who was called to be king, he was anointed king, and the Lord told him to go up and hang around with the prophets. And the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, and he would prophesy with them. And it was after that, that when he was obeying Samuel, that when he turned away, that God gave him another heart. Why? He gave him a king's heart. Do y'all understand that? What did he give him? A king's heart. Because God could not use him in that position unless he had a king's heart. Amen? And that's what God is doing with me and you. He's cleaning our hearts up. He's severing certain things. And he's maintaining this area where we have a king's heart. Why? Because if we don't maintain it, we will fall out of rank. And one of the things we don't want to do is fall out of rank. In Ezekiel 11, would you go there with me? Praise God. In verse 17. "Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will what? Gather you from all the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all of its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them what? One heart. And I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they will be my people and I will be their God. But as far as for those whose heart follow the desire of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their heads, on their own heads, says the Lord." So we see here that God was even prophesying this, that we would get a new heart and a new spirit. He said, but when you turn your heart somewhere else, and you share your heart with what you're not supposed to share with, instead of sharing the king's heart, because you get a new heart, that's the king's heart. Everyone say, "I got a king's heart now." That's the heart you share, not your heart. You know, sometimes people come up to me and say, "I got an opinion." I say, "Hold on." Because it's not always about an opinion. Opinions sometimes come out of the carnal heart. Amen? Sometimes they come out of where? The carnal heart. So you've got to be careful of what's going to come out. Amen? You want to come out, you want it to come out of the king's heart. Does everybody understand that? There are people who prophesy out of their own heart instead of out of the king's heart. We call them granolas. They're nutty and fruity. Hello? Go to Ezekiel 14 while we're there. I got a word for you. Good. I got a word for you. It's amazing how many people, because somebody comes up and says, "I got a word for you," they take it. They take it, they run with it, and they realize it wasn't God. See, you cannot open your heart. Does everybody understand that? Even when I get a prophecy, I go, "Okay, thanks, Lord," and I lay it, give it back to Him. He knows what it is. I don't chase prophecies. I chase the Lord. You know, there's too many people chasing. They go to every place trying to get a word. I need a word. No, you need deliverance. Because the reason why they're chasing the word is because they're not trusting God.
Does everybody get that?
Believe me, God knows exactly what you need. If you'll wait on Him, you'll know. Oh, hallelujah.
What did I say to go? Ezekiel 14 and verse 2. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, these men have set up what?
Hey, listen, everybody read this with me, would you please?
In verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of all of at all of them? By all of them? In other words, should I listen to them? They've put idols in their heart. You know, you can't allow anything to be between you and God. I love my wife, but I've not given her my heart. I've given her the heart of Christ. Do y'all understand that? Why? Because I can never lose my relationship with the Father. That's how people backslide and do goofy things. Because they've given, opened, accepted parts of their heart with someone instead of the heart of Christ. It is so important. Amen? Like I said, I love my wife. When the Bible says that we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loves the church. As who? Christ loves the church, not as your carnal heart loves another person. Because most of the time it's lust anyways. That's why there's jealousy. Because that's not of the heart of Christ. Amen. Does everybody get that? That's why there's vengeance. That's why there's all of this stuff. Because it's not out of the heart of Christ. It's out of the heart of a man, his carnal heart. That's why there's codependent spirit. That's why men and women submit to one another in ungodliness. And people become soul ties with friends, tight friends. Man, we giving our... Yeah, people cut themselves. Yeah, blood brother, sister brother, you know.
I did it when I was a kid. We were making covenant. Blood brothers and those, all of those vows that we made. What do? We opened our hearts to those things, didn't we?
And here Ezekiel, as the Lord was expressing, said, listen, they've got idols in their heart. Idols in their heart. You know, there are so many things that we have gathered together, and you'll find out even when you're praying, if you can't shake something from you, that you constantly... David said something. He said, I always see my sin before me. If you can't shake something from you, it's because you've opened your heart to it. And you need to get it out. Amen? And it doesn't mean that the enemy comes and knocks on your heart, doesn't he? He says, come on. Let me have access to your heart. The Bible says the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But the one thing he wants to do is take a part of your heart. If he can get your heart, if he can activate your heart to want a desire or something to become a friend of the world, then you have problems. And what happens is it moves you out of your spiritual position, doesn't it? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Everyone say, I got a king's heart. Hallelujah. You know, think about King Herod. Remember when King Herod? Oh, that killed John the Baptist. You know, you remember his stepdaughter who danced before him? What did he say? He said, man, I'll give you half the kingdom, sister. Just dance before me. Well, he didn't realize what he had said. And so she danced before him. And what happened? John the Baptist lost his head. Do you understand that? Why? Because he opened his heart up, didn't he? He made a vow. He made a confession. He made a vow. He made a covenant. And he opened his heart up. And of course, his wife was the one that wanted John's head anyways. So the daughter goes to the wife and says, okay, what do we ask for? She said, the head of John the Baptist. And Herod did not want to kill John. Because one aspect, he feared him. He knew he was of God. Amen? He didn't want to kill him. But because he opened his heart to it. And he was supposed to be a king, but he was the one of the worst kings there ever, you know,
He was a terrible king. He was one of the worst kings there were. Does everybody get this? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Joel chapter 2. I want to talk about somebody else too. Ahab and Jezebel. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm talking about these areas because most people give their hearts to another person. Does everybody understand that? Whether it be, that's why we break soul ties. Soul ties of friends and soul ties of relationships. Think about a prostitute and how many times she's given her heart to somebody. Amen. Relationships. They've given them their hearts to somebody. Amen. And then they struggle later. Oh, hallelujah. In Joel chapter 2. Is everybody there? Good, I'll be right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In verse 12. Everybody read it with me? Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with what? All of your heart. With fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart, not your garments. In other words, tear open your heart, man. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a what? Blessing behind him, and a grain offering and drink offering for the Lord your God. Now, why would he leave a blessing? Because you did what? You pleased him. Somebody got it? You did what? You pleased him. Praise God. The Bible tells us that where your heart is, your treasures are. Amen? Or where your treasures are, your heart is. Does everybody get that? See, so if our heart is constantly focused towards the Lord, and we're always willing to make that exchange, you know that when your carnal heart begins to activate and you take out that Holy Ghost baseball bat, beat it down, and let the heart of Christ take prominence. So you've got to exchange it constantly. Constantly. And all, even during the day sometimes, you'll find, because the Bible says, out of your heart wicked things will come. Out of the what? The hearts of a man. The carnal heart, wicked things will come. So we've got to constantly exchange it. You'll sense that. You know, how many times did you... Somebody, what about offense? Think about how many times people are offended. You know, when they get offended, their first response is to protect oneself. The problem is to protecting the carnal heart instead of surrendering it and getting the heart of Christ. And the only reason why people are most likely offended is because they're still too alive. Amen? Way too alive. So we see that in relationships, in materialism, you know, that's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Why? Because they set this in their heart. They're actually living and working to obtain money instead of the heart focusing on expanding the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes people go into a drug program at first to please the husband or the wife or whatever. All right, I'll go. Yeah, I'll go. It's for you. Well, their heart's not right yet, is it? And once that relationship comes between them and the Lord and they begin to surrender their heart to God, then they're realizing that they're doing it for God and nobody else. Amen? Now there's a change. And then God begins to bless. Why? Because he's pleased. The greatest blessing you can get is to know that you're pleasing God. Oh, hallelujah. Does everybody see this? Let's go to... Philippians 4, and then we'll do one more scripture, and praise God. Philippians 4, and verse 6. Would you read it with me? Be anxious for everything. Be anxious for two things. Be
anxious for nothing. Wow. See, when you're anxious for nothing, there isn't anything before you. Does everybody get that? When you're not anxious, you're trusting. You're waiting. The moment you become anxious, it's because of something you want. And it's because something you want is because you've already opened it in your heart. You've shared it with, you've already given your heart to it. That's why people make plans before they shouldn't. That's why people do things before they shouldn't. Hello? I get people to come to me for counsel. And they really don't come to counsel. They just came to tell me what they already did. Yeah, well, I already made all these arrangements. Okay, cool. That's not counsel, is it? Does everybody get it? So you're getting ready to go buy a car. People go try to buy a car and get in debt and never even check what's in their account. They just go, yeah, I can, yeah. They try to do all kinds of things. Why? Because they've allowed, they've shared their heart with it, right? And they've accepted it. Now it's before them. Now here it is. This is what I'm going to do. And you know what they do? They become anxious because it's something that they want because they've opened their heart to it. A king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, not in the hand of a man. A king's heart is in the hand of the Lord and not in the hand of a man. Does everybody get this? It's so important. So we're to be anxious for nothing. When you become anxious for something, you've opened your heart to it. But in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication. By what? Prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Hello? Didn't say he was going to answer you that day, did he? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your what? Hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, you didn't get an answer yet, but you got peace because you surrendered it. Okay. Lord, if that's you, praise God. If it's not, hallelujah. Thank you for rescuing me. But then you walk in peace. See, it's when we begin to grab these things because we've not released them from our heart. And we've not exchanged our heart or given our heart back to the Lord. That's why people struggle the day after what they've opened their heart to the day before. And then the enemy starts watering it. And he starts enlarging it. And this is where we've got to constantly surrender it. We have to take our little paws off of it. Okay, Lord, this is your heart. I give you my heart that I may have the heart of Christ. Amen? That I may have the what? King's heart. The king's heart. Why? Because the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And he will direct your paths. And he'll turn you where you need to go. And there's times when you won't even know what's what. And you're just there. I don't even know how I got here. Praise God. It's because you constantly surrendered. Amen? And I want to close at Ephesians 3. Is everybody okay? Did you get it? Are you getting it? So what do? You need to repent. Right? You need to repent. You repent of whatever it is that you have opened your heart up to. Whatever it is, you sever it. And you command it to go. And you constantly surrender your heart to the Lord that you are requesting the king's heart, the heart of Christ. Man, you'll notice that immediately as you begin to do these things and surrender, God begins to bless you. Now, let me share with you how He'll bless you. Number one, you'll begin to hear His voice clearer. Hello? You'll begin to see your thoughts manifest. Because they're not your thoughts anymore. They're the King's thoughts. He's expressing them to you. You won't have a want. Everything will be provided. These are things that begin to happen when you constantly exchange your heart for the King's heart. Relationships, especially in marriages, will grow.
There won't be any division there. There won't be any mistrust there. Does everybody get this? There won't be any fear of losing one another. There won't be fear in that area of losing your children because you have the King's heart. Does everybody got it? Why? Because the King's heart, hallelujah, is in the hand of the Lord. Amen? There won't be any fear there. You know that you know that you know because you know the King. You're one heart with Him.
Look, I'm going to use one other example. Lot's wife. Remember when they left Sodom and Gomorrah? Right? Where was her heart? It was still there, wasn't it? And what happened? She turned to stone. When she turned around and looked, why? Because her heart was still in her past. And let me share something with you. If your heart is still in your past, it needs to come out of there. It needs to be in the present and in the King's hand, in the Lord's hand. Amen? See, because when we begin, and that's the employ of the enemy, he always wants you to open your heart up to something from your past. If he can do that, well, I remember how things were, and I remember what, and then, you begin to look at the good things of your past, and then the devil begins to show you the bad things of your past. Because even some of the good things of your past were bad. Because if you weren't serving the Lord with a full heart, that's why he says to me, come to me. If you'll seek me with all of your heart, I'll find you. You'll find me. Amen? So we know that if I seek the Lord with all my heart, I'll find him. Not just half heart, quarter heart, three quarters heart. You know what? All of my heart. When every day we must constantly surrender our heart to him. And he'll expose your heart to you. And those are the areas where you need to sever. Because these are open doors. Does everybody get it? Okay, let's close here at Ephesians 3 and verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is there more than two people in here? Praise God. Let's start at verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Say it again. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints that is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God, and to God be the glory. Make the exchange. Don't hesitate, and prepare your hearts now for communion. Amen? And whatever it is that God is showing you, whatever it may be that you've open your heart to, whether it be past or present, whatever is before you that you see, sever it, repent. Amen. You know, lying is nothing but a protector of self. Where you've lied, cheated, whatever it may be, any area where there's been open doors in your life, in this realm, in the demonic realm that has touched your heart, or any soul tie, or any idol whatsoever, even promises. We've opened our hearts up to making vows and covenants with things. All of those areas, they're still attached there. Those must be severed. Amen? Father, we just take this opportunity and we ask for your forgiveness, Master. Lord, we repent for opening our hearts in any way whatsoever to the things that were not of you, to the things that displeased you. We repent. And we ask, Father, even right now, that you would wash us with the blood of Christ and sever every entanglement that's been attached to our heart that we may surrender it to you. We give you our whole heart right now, Lord, and we ask that there be an exchange for the heart of Christ, the King's heart, and that the flow and the anointing would flow through your vessels in every area. Bring healing to their bodies. Free them from the torments and memories of their past. Free them in the mighty name of Jesus from any entanglement of the world. Free them. Free them. And let that anointing break every yoke of bondage, that the heart of Christ may have its full preeminence in these vessels. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.